And into the present, into the dream of the future.
Hey, welcome, Rico. Welcome. Hello, how are you doing today?
Doing great.
HT was recently arrested, and by recently, I mean like yesterday, maybe the day before yesterday.
Saturday, the 20th.
He talked about it on his stream, first hour.
Last night.
There was a video posted, and in that video, I believe that could possibly be you talking in that video. Is that correct?
It is.
It is? It is? Okay.
I'm the one that recorded the video.
So viewers are actually on the front lines contributing to the cause of the Goyim Defense League. Is that correct?
Yes.
Wow. Yep. Amazing. Incredible. And it could be you guys, too.
GDL needs you.
Okay, so Rico, can you walk us through the incident from your perspective, please?
Well, so I recently traveled to Florida for bereavement. My family, you know, my mother passed away.
Wow, analogous to Gypsy Crusader, sad.
Yes, I'd been talking with HT online for a couple months, just talking, you know, politics and guns and all kinds of stuff. And he said he lived in a town that was about two hours from my mother's. So I had told him that depending on the outcome of her funerary stuff, you know, went, that I could probably break off for a day or two and come do some IRL with the guys.
And nice.
We know how that culminated,
but continue.
Well, that last weekend of my trip, I spent with HT and the Goys, and I have to say they were all very cool, very intelligent, a very very SIG mindset.
Nice, whole crew there.
Yeah, there was like the time I was hanging out with them. I was astonished at the level of camaraderie
whites helping each other towards a better future. It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and I have to admit, the first few minutes is a bit awkward, but then it was like, after maybe 15-20 minutes, it was like I was one of the bros.
Right, right.
And they were all very welcoming, very polite, and even in our disagreements on like things of politics throughout the weekend that we discussed, you know, like.
Yeah, only peace and love, Rico. Peace and love.
That's
it. Peace and love.
There was no chimp outs or anything, you know. I am of the firm belief that HT is not a Fed. If HT were a Fed, I mean, the production value of this op is like amazing.
Yeah, there's a question. What are the glow levels of the group? What are the glow levels, Rico? First-hand experience. Glow levels. Go.
The entire time I was hanging with the, I never got any kind of like tingles or red flags or anything that like something was sus.
Mm.
And
what if you're the glowy? What if you're the glowy?
Well, I was actually kind of mindful of that because I was telling them like army stories and stuff, but it was like, well, if I talk about all this time that I worked for the government, then they might actually think that I still work for the government. And that's not the case.
So
I kind of had to pick my words a little careful, you know?
Mm-hmm. So keep going on. Like, so what led to the arrest? Where did it come from?
Okay. So Saturday afternoon, HT and I, we went out shooting to give him some lit instruction and stuff. We got his rifle dialed in, and once we got his rifle dialed in, he picked up on instruction real quick. He's fucking terrific shot.
What kind of guns?
It was AR carbine, you know,
mm-hmm.
And
Luis,
you know, free flow barrel and all that. Oh, well, he was so happy with it because the guy that assembled it actually messed something up, and I fixed it for him. He was so happy with the results and how well he was shooting. He was just like, "Oh, I'm gonna buy you dinner."
Oh, cool.
And so, like, we all had an outing. Like, he invited all the goys to show up, and HT got us kicked out of the first restaurant we went into. You probably saw him talk about that on the stream. And
I'm not to that part yet, man. I'm not to that part yet. Why don't you tell us what happened?
So there was these boomers. That were at the table next to us, and HT was talking to Perp.
Oh, I bet they were nice Catholics too, really defending those kikes, weren't they?
Yeah, but like HT's in person, he's a very animated character, right? Like his body mm-hmm. movements, like how he mm-hmm. shifts. But he's talking to Perp about the ancient philosophical question: do black lives really matter?
mm.
But then every so often, he'd just kind of like turn his head for a second and say something, so like the voice would project towards the boomers and stuff. Like all of us at the table, like it was fucking hilarious, and I kicked myself for not recording it because it should have been
memorialized in history.
Yeah, and he would have likely used it in his show if anyone had recorded it, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, anyways, the boomer. So
that's the definition of real life activism right there. When you're just out eating and you're doing it without even trying.
Oh, dude, the night before we went to this fancy restaurant, and like I felt underdressed. HT was actually probably appropriate levels of dress because he
always wears a damn suit. He always wears a suit.
Yeah, it's like the steaks and the pasta were like fucking.
Wow, that dude definitely has a little bit of money. Definitely has a little bit of money.
We didn't realize it was going to be at that price rate. You know, this we're talking white people food at white people prices, right?
Yeah, that's you got to pay for the white people food. You got to pay for the white people food, the white Italian food, or is Italian white? But whatever, move off of that.
I watched them red pill a table of joggers. You know, they weren't joggers. They were well dressed, well behaved, and they were actually very polite,
respectable blacks.
Yes, they. Rarer than the
amazing,
sober Irishman.
incredible.
They're rarer than a sober Irishman, but they do exist.
Yes.
And he dropped the red pills on him, dropped the truth bombs, and he's like, okay, well, check out the GTV Flyers website. You know, wrote it down for him and stuff. And he's like, he told him about the documentaries, the Europa and.
Definitely. Yeah, the going down the list. Yep.
Yeah, you know the required reading list. Yeah,
he does it on Omingle and all those shows. I know what he does. Yep. So Yeah.
He even caveated it to him. It's like, it might be intimidating at first, but just stick through it. And, you know, and hey, if you don't agree with it at the end of it, you know, just some crazy white guy came up and told you about it at dinner. No.
Exactly. Yep.
But the man is exceptionally charismatic in person.
Yes. Well, he was an actor. But yes, I mean, that charisma, it comes with the, it seems to be his foundational core principle thing, aspect, yeah. Whatever.
Well, but he's also like very uplifting, very Sig Grindset type guy.
You know, good. Yes, that's good.
Like when he was asking me about my background, and I told him, you know, about my failed marriage and stuff, and I'm a little on the out of shape side, and you know, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm
same not here, man. There was a point in my life I was so fucking in shape, and I longed to go back to that time. So, you know, we'll all help each other. We'll all get back there. Yeah. And I like that Goyim Defense League is a group of people that help and uplift their members to be better. And that is the path to success right there. Why don't you take us back to the restaurant you got kicked out of?
Okay. So he's like passively antagonizing these boomers. And like some of the shit he was saying, it was pretty funny. It was like, it's like, well, you know, they're only 13% of the population. You know, is the NBA really that valuable to society? You know, is it really worth the cost? You know, and it was some genuinely yeah. red pilled funny shit. You know, like the situation is such. Well, drunk boomer fucking got mad and fucking HT asked him, like, so you got like mixed race grandchild or something? And like, dude got. Dude got fucking furious, so that,
you know, it was true. You know it was true.
Oh, the way I talked about it later, it was
his,
like,
fucking daughter was blacked, man. His granddaughter or whatever got blacked.
I phrased it as like he had a family shame that he didn't want to talk about, Nick. It just cut a little too close to home, you know? Like,
no.
Yeah, you know, because I'm sure he's proud of his daughter for Mudshark.
Yeah.
But he's like challenging HT to a fight, and I mean, guy you could tell 20 years ago probably could have given an HT a run for the money in terms of like frame and stature, you know, like, but he was clearly aged out, and maybe, who knows, maybe he could have got a shot in or two if had it gone that way, you know. You know, because I mean, he wasn't a small dude, and he didn't look weak either, but he was drunk as shit though.
Well, that's the liquid you will do that to you.
Yeah. Well, and so like HT tells him off. It's like, hey, I don't want to have to fuck your world up and all that. You know, the chest pound, dominant male monkey motherfucker type shit. So Boomer fucking runs inside the restaurant because we're on the patio. And he comes back with the security guard who, mind you, looks like fucking bargain bin Shitwood. Like the same kind of nose, same kind of mustache. But
oh, Shitwood.
Yeah, but he had like a biker kind of haircut. Like I say, bargain bin shit. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, kind of resembled, but it was fucking hilarious. He's like, well, it's been decided that you have to leave.
And you're not getting our money then. Bye.
Yeah. Which I felt bad for the waitress because she was actually doing a good job, and I was going to leave her a pretty decent tip, you know, because she was like Johnny on the spot with the drinks and, you know, providing that excellent service. And of course, she was white.
Yeah.
And
well, they don't want business, whatever.
Yeah. Well, we as we're walking to the car, I guess one of the guys knows one of the owners, and it's like, yeah, there's three of them that own this place. One of them's a nigger, and it's like, who wants to bet that fucking drunk boomer ran up to nigger owner and fucking, and that's what, because usually when you get rowdy in a place, they always like, okay, well, calm down, we don't want to have to come back. Like, it was, no, it went straight to like, no, we're asking you to leave, so
get out.
Yeah. So he probably went to the nigger owner and was like, "Mo racism."
Mo racism, yep.
And then one of Drunk Boomer's friends came up and said they were friends from high school and stuff, and just had a little too much to drink. And that guy was actually pretty chill, pretty nice. Drunk Boomer most likely went to fucking Nignog owner. And it's like, it was probably like pearls were clutched. It's like, these guys at the next table, they said nigger. You know?
Oh my God, they said words.
Yes. Like the black couple at the table on the other side of us did not fucking care. Like,
yeah.
And they were, you know, they were having the night. Like,
they're probably
like,
having a kick out of it.
Yeah. So they kicked us out. We asked, so we go to this fucking sports bar place. I was CCWing, but I left my pistol in HT's car because
explain to viewers what CCW is.
Concealed carry weapon.
And you can do that state to state.
If they're a member of the Interstate Compact State, you know, the agreement, you know, where they recognize each other's licenses and stuff, you know, like professional licenses and things.
Yes.
And then there's a reciprocity. Like, well, right. You respect yours, we'll mutual. Yeah,
exactly. I'm visiting, so I should be able to conceal carry temporarily while I'm in your state visiting.
And then I agree to obey the law, you know.
Right, correct. Got it. So continue your story.
I was like, I'm not going to take chances. So I left, you know, because once he said, like, yeah, we're going to go meet up at the sports bar place. And
in a lot of places, they request that you put your gun outside before you go into the establishment. So you were trying to obey the law that is commonplace.
Yeah, because they're serving open alcohol. I wasn't drinking, but we were having dinner. And
you didn't know what the laws were, and you wanted to respect the laws, so you left the weapon in the car. Got it.
Yes, because I'm white.
Correct. Got it. You're smart.
And smart, yes. Well, anyways, you know, we're smoking and joking, having the time of our lives, telling jokes and stories of, you know, crazy adventures we had and shit.
And how kikes are evil, right? Lots of kikes are evil, right?
And since we were in a sports bar, of course we were making fun of the nigger ball on the TV, you know.
Oh, my God. I bet you were having a good old time.
Yeah, yeah. So that place, we stayed until closing, and some of the guys were like, well, it's a little early yet, don't want to go home. And it's like, we were in the downtown area, so it was kind of, there's some other bars that are in walking distance, go check them out. And the guy said, hey, there's a Mud Shark bar over there. And like, well, let's go into the Mud Shark bar and laugh at some mud sharks. And
I have dude, HT has just, the balls, but continue.
Like, we weren't confronting people, but it was just walk by and laugh and like pointing them out and shit. It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
The Mud Shark bar did not disappoint. And so we ran into this white couple that were, they were like bar hopping, and they were pretty cool people and pretty attractive lady. And HT asked them, like, well, hey, is there any white people bars around here? And they're like, oh yeah, right around the corner. So we mash over there and continue our smoking and joking.
You just bar hopping. Wow. Yeah, it's like good old college days. Good old college days.
Yeah, Vice City without the vice, you know? And after a time, you know, it was starting to get late. I want to say it was probably between midnight, 1 o'clock, possibly 1:30. I wasn't keeping track of time, you know.
Yeah, but, same fun.
It was kind of like, well, let's go home and do some work on our projects and shit. And there's two cops posted out by HT's car, and like, cause we're in a bar area. HT said he felt something was wrong on his recount. Like, I saw him patrolling the bar scene, so it didn't seem out of the ordinary to me. But
like HT thought they were following you guys or something.
Yeah, that's what he said on his stream. That they were like, he saw the cops sitting there, and he got a gut feeling, and. No, I don't doubt that he did. I don't doubt that he did. But to me, it didn't seem out of the ordinary because, like, there was a couple other cop cars. To me, it didn't seem out of the ordinary because it was just Saturday night bar patrol going around looking for, you know, they're fishing for drunk drivers.
Right.
And we're probably about like maybe 10 feet from his car, and they call out his name. We're
10 feet. You were 10 feet from his car, and they call out his name.
Yeah. We're walking abreast, maybe about an arm's length or two apart, you know, not super close together, but like obvious we're grouped, right?
Yeah.
And I turn around, and like the cop already had one hand on HT's arms, and they were like, he had one on each arm, and they were like pulling his arms behind him.
Hmm.
You know, and it happened so quick that like HT dropped his keys and his vape and his phone and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they just grab his arms and yank him away. Yeah, it makes sense.
Well, on the video, you see where the cops are talking about, oh, he charged me and he tried to hit me. And it's like, no.
Whatever.
But like, Ace was like 3 or 4 feet away from him and like literally bent down to get his keys, and the cop kicked him. And it's like, he's grabbing my ankle. And then like two other cops body check Ace into the side of the car.
Jesus, man.
But it was literally like, you know, and they throw him against the car, and it's like, oh, he's got a gun. Ace was carrying in the bar. I didn't because I didn't know the legality, but evidently I could have. I found out after.
Right.
Because I wasn't drinking, but regardless, you know, the cop yells, oh, he's got a gun. And of course, you know, it got all big and dramatic and gay. And Ace had whipped out his phone and started recording. He was like quick draw McGraw with that.
Good, good.
I'm not used to doing the IRL activism stuff, so I'm like kind of fumbling.
Yeah, man, yeah.
I'm kind of fumbling my phone, and then the video I took started like maybe 5 seconds after they body checked Ace. Like, because I was like trying to get the melee of them wrestling Ace to the car.
Yeah. You know,
and I just fucking missed it because in terms of evidence value, there's not much there in the video. I didn't get them like swooping on HT, and I didn't get them swooping on.
At least you were there to get something, man. At least you were there to get something.
Well, and as I'm recording, after they get it, you know, they got Ace in the back of the car, and they're grilling HT about his failure to appear for a court date that hasn't happened yet, and all that. The white couple that we met outside the Mud Shark bar happened by, and they were like, "What's going on? We just, you know, we saw you guys a few minutes ago." And it's like, I was just like, "Go get my friends."
Yeah, I heard in the video. I heard that part of the video. Yeah.
Yeah.
They seemed very, like, they seemed genuinely, like, wow, why is he getting arrested? Yeah, because kikes.
And then immediately after, the sports bar that we were at was closed, but the waitress that served us with the very nice bouteille came out and was like, what's going on? And so I was, like, talking to her, too. And like, so that part of the video, there's actually, like, two separate conversations going, you know?
Yeah.
And operationally, I kind of disagree with HT's take. He thinks that they pinged his phone and then went. I think the bar patrol saw that he parked on the line, ran his plate, has a little red banner on their little computer, and then they probably got the.
It's the call. So easy to ping phones, though, dude. And the FBI and the ADL. I mean, HT really is being hyper focused in on, and for them to hit him with like this little stupid warrant, It does almost seem like they're kind of waiting, but I get what you're saying, too. Like, it might have just been a cop alcohol patrol.
And like, we took, before I drove HT's car home, I took pictures all the way around it for evidence. Like, he did kind of park bigger. He had a tire on the line. He wasn't like one of those assholes that took up like three parking spots by parking perpendicular, but it was like, it was one of those the ticket could have gone
either way. He's from California. I get it.
But if they would have given him the ticket for it, it could have gone either way because the tire was like on the line, you know, like.
Oh my god! Yeah.
It was just like honestly, it was kind of like the whole ordeal was kind of retarded. Like HT pled his case to the cops. They just it eventually came down to, well, it says warrant, you're going away.
Yeah. That's not how America should be. You're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. That seems the other way around.
Yeah. Like. You know, in the video, you can faintly hear the cop talking like, he tried to grab my leg and stuff. And it's like, that is fabrication.
Yeah.
After they huckle-bucked Ace, I tried to reach for the keys. I didn't even get down to, like, knee height. And they're just like, just stand back for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, let me get my phone out and start recording.
Right.
I think operationally what likely happened is Bar Patrol found the car, ran the plate, saw it was HT. Got the little like warning label or whatever on the little dash computer. Then they call in and it's like, yep, bring them in. Then they probably, I'm sure they did ping the phone at some point, but I don't think that was the first action based off my organizational knowledge and my experience of how government works. For them to be like monitoring his phone and it's like, oh, well, he's in the county now. That would require competence. And you got to like keep in mind that this is the government that we are talking about. They were doing some funky shit with the bond situation, too.
What was the funky shit they did with the bond?
Well, we stayed up to like 3 or 4 in the morning, like, checking the little, like, jail database, you know, booked in. And
The public database for the state, yeah.
Yeah, we were checking that about every 10 minutes or so to just see, like, okay, you know, to try to get him and Ace out, HT and Ace out sooner, you know, ASAP.
Yeah, you gotta post bond and... Yeah, it's difficult.
But
sucks going into jail. It ain't pleasant, guys. It's not... When they arrest you and they put you in the holding cell, I mean, it ain't fun, man. It is not fun. It's miserable. They make you miserable on purpose. It sucks, but continue.
Yeah, so there's like a whole psychological component to it.
Exactly.
So we all went to bed about 3 or 4 in the morning, and we woke up about 6:30, and Jehu had, like, I guess he just like kind of like half asleep checked it, and they had posted the bond. So we wake up, we get the, you know, get dressed, call the bail bondsman, pay them everything. And about an hour later, they refund the money saying that there isn't a bond now.
What?
Yeah. Like,
kike your shenanigans, dude. Yeah. What the so that you called the bail company, they had it in their system, they posted the bond, and then they returned your money saying it was gone.
Well, that it got changed to no bond.
And then
so we go out, we get breakfast. I don't remember if it was Ace or HT that called. They called Jehu or Perp or one of the but basically, like, I got the call, they're getting released, let's go to the jail. We go to the jail, nope, not being released.
Why? That doesn't seem legal to me.
I don't think it is.
I don't think that's legal. I mean, what are we but cogs in the wheel of this fucking unjust society? But that doesn't seem fucking legal to me. But continue.
I think someone called D.A. Ehrenberg in the middle of the night, and it was like,
you know, yeah,
put the boots to a medium style.
Yeah.
Throughout the course of the day, like, we made like 3 trips to the jail.
Yeah.
The second trip, they had released Ace, but then they were still holding HT. And then it was probably about 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon. They called, or HT had called, and they were moving him to the out processing again. So it was like, okay, rally the troops, let's all go down there. We get down there, and everyone's kind of afraid to go into the jail because they have their own like littering warrants and stuff going on. And like, well, fuck it, I don't have anything, so I go into the jail and wait for him. And probably about like 20 minutes later, the cop escorts HT out.
So Florida has got so many of these Grim Defense League people with warrants, they're afraid to go into the jail to bail HT out, is what you're saying. Yeah. That's insane. Little did they know they had someone from out of state on the way.
Yeah. Well, they paid for the bail. I went in.
When like, signed for it. Right.
Yeah. I didn't actually sign it, but, you know.
Regardless, you assisted.
Yeah. Well, and that was the, I was actually supposed to leave at 10 o'clock in the morning to go catch my flight, which that got all screwed up because Ace was my ride.
Wow. And life is life.
Yeah. Well, when we finally retrieved Ace, he hadn't slept a wink. So he apologized. And was like, I need to
you
get sleep.
It's so hard to sleep in the jail. I mean, they make you miserable. It's almost impossible. It's either freezing or incredibly hot. They do not make you comfortable. You're probably freezing. It's not comfortable. It's almost impossible to sleep.
Yeah. There's that zone in sleep deprivation where you're more docile before you get arrested. They try to keep you in that zone of like, you're tired, so you're not going to be uppity.
Yeah. Yeah.
We retrieved Ace, and he was like, I'm going to take a shower and go to bed. And it's like, hey, you earned it, bro. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
In Ace's case, like, we met him down the street at the gas station. HT's, we were at the actual, like, jail. Well, the cops escort HT through the blast door, the auto lock. It's like 4 inches
thick. Yes, yes.
Bulletproof glass and all that.
Oh, yes.
He walks out. He's got the fucking $1 million smile and the 10-cent grin going.
Oh, HT, I love it.
Yeah. He walks up, gives me a big old hug, and I just told him, man, like, I ain't gonna leave a fallen brother behind.
Oh, that's great.
We walked out, shot some pictures. The boys got out of the car, recorded a quick video, and went back home. And then, unfortunately, I had to leave not long after that.
Dude, it sounds like you actually helped a lot, despite whether you think you helped or not. I mean, that's being able to go in there as someone without the warrants and stuff is a big deal. So, in my opinion.
As I was getting my bags and stuff, I had a friend come from where my mom lives to come pick me up. And when it was obvious that, like, this isn't going to be a quick process, I had called, like, contingency plan alpha is in effect.
Yeah.
But my friend had arrived, like, 20 minutes before we got back with HT to his house. We said our goodbyes and stuff, and the last thing I said to him in person was just like, did I earn my stripes? Am I in the GDL now? And he said, without a doubt, brother, gave me another fucking hug, and then
I did. Nice. So,
the dudes were fucking super awesome, though. Like,
it seems like good wholesome camaraderie to me.
Well, Friday night after dinner, we were talking, and HT and I were talking privately in his garage and stuff, just kind of like getting to know each other and telling my story and failed marriage and getting called back to Iraq several times and all that. And he uplifted me, and he told me, he's like, well, if you move down here and work out with us for about 6 months, you'll be a fucking beast. And it's like, you should want to better yourself. I mean, like, it was like a white pilling pep talk, and like I wasn't expecting it, nor was I prepared for it.
Wow, that's great.
But it didn't come off corny or after school special. Like, and it's like, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right, man. Like, yeah, okay. Hmm. And, since I've returned, I haven't, you know, been drinking sodas or eating boy slops.
Yeah, good. Yeah, it'd be inspiration. It sounds like an inspirational meeting and interaction to me.
Like all the guys through even throughout this whole ordeal, it's like no one lost their positive, you know, like they were always kind of like looking on the bright side. I have to admit, it was kind of addicting.
Mm-hmm.
And I even pointed out to the guys before HT got out, because of this funky warrant situation, that essentially, but the positive of him getting arrested and going to jail like this, as inconvenient as it was, is warrant has been served now, and they can't like unserve him to do it again.
Yeah.
Legally.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're doing extra legal tactics, but, you know, the more that they do that, the more they just expose the nose, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Expose the nose.
So it's like, either way, it's a win for HT, really, and the GDL. And I like that mindset that they have. It's like, well, okay, this shitty thing happened, but we can still turn it into a net positive. You know, don't give up hope. I think that's what our people desperately need in these dark times.
Right. How has the incident affected your perception of the law enforcement system?
None, but it's not like I had a very high opinion of the prior. I've known individual good cops, but organizationally, I very low opinion, because it's the government.
Right. Where were the other Goyim Defense League members when all of this was going down?
So the three of us were walking to HT's car, because HT, we wanted to go home and actually, like, we had went to the range, so we were going to go clean rifles, and I was going to show them shitty training videos and stuff
man fun, right?
Yeah. That's why we kind of dipped out a little bit before the other guys. They wanted to stay and try to pull tail, which...
I love it.
But seemingly, like, they weren't doing terrible at it until the shit went down. Mm. And Jehu and Perp ran up, because they already had their phones and recording. And, like, I just kind of took this... Like, they handled it, you know, the interaction with the cops. And they actually started dropping red pills on the cops. And you can tell by you could tell by the cops' like tone, inflections, and stuff. Like, it was, they're explaining the lay anti-Semitic flyers and stuff, and they're like, "Wait, that was you guys?" You know?
Yeah.
And the one cop was like, "This is no sarcasm. This is no bullshit. You know, I'm genuinely curious. Tell me about your guys' organization."
Nice.
And so they started at the beginning.
That has to be literal. He sees the corruption from within, man. He has to see like. Why are we harassing these guys for flyer? Like, you know, he has to be like, what the fuck is going on here?
Okay, so when we approached the car, there was the one car parked about 30 feet behind HT's car next to some bushes. And those were the cops that initially approached us, accosted us. They ran a full-on fucking mini operation, because by the end of it, there was like four or five squad cars and maybe like 20 cops with boots.
Dude, they always do that. They always do that every time. If you've watched the Goyim Defense League for any amount of years, dude, whenever they always do that. That's nothing new. It's always like four cop cars.
For littering.
For littering, yes. It's
quote-unquote.
Eye roll.
Yeah, they're distributing political literature, but like...
HT did post on his gab, fuck the bill, with a bag full of flyers. Dumbass.
They FOIA'd the police report from one of the ticketing things. How they worded it was like the three guys were in a U-Haul and they were like, we followed them for 12 blocks while they littered flyers in people's yards. And I just told
distribute
like,
literature, you assholes.
But the way the wording, like the Zog account of the events was like,
oh my god,
you remember
like
that old
they were
show?
Distributing litter from a U-Haul. I get it, like. I get it. They're making it sound like they're distributing trash from the back of the U-Haul. I get it.
Well, you remember remember that 90s cartoon, the Captain Planet?
Yes, Captain Planet. Yes.
It was like making you sound out like you're a villain in a Captain Planet episode. He was just like, he's traveling all around town, littering all over the. We had to stop him. You know.
Oh like, my god. That's great. But, Did the Goyim Defense League is all the bad people doing all like the grime one?
Then let our polluting powers combine! Super radiation!
Deforestation!
Smog! Toxin!
Hey! Your polluting powers combined! I am Captain Pollution!
No pollution!
They're the guys that are actually picking up the litter and they hand out flyers and it's like, oh no, the evil villains that want a cleaner, better, safer fucking society for white people. You know?
Exactly, yeah.
But we must stop them at all costs. And
yeah.
I'm thankful that they accepted me into their group. You know, it was a great honor to meet all of them. I initially went to meet
very
HT,
cool.
As I got to know each of the guys throughout the whole ordeal, just like there was just this huge sense of camaraderie and brotherhood, and I hadn't felt that since like my early days in the military.
It's like the opposite of what the feds want you to think it is. Wow.
Yeah, but like huge camaraderie, and you know, like even at one point, like. I was depleted of funds and stuff. They're like, no, we got you.
That's cool, man. That's cool.
I bought them drinks and stuff, and not like alcohol drink, but like we were out palling around and stuff, and you know, it's just like each one was uplifting in their own unique way, and I just loved the mindset. It didn't none of it seemed forced or fake or. Anything.
Yeah, because it's probably not, man. These people just understand that the main problem in our society is caused by fucking Jews.
Yes.
And it's them pulling us down as a society as a whole. That's literally the problem.
At one point, prior to us going out to dinner, Ace and I had went to Walmart. And then that was my time to get to know him. Because I needed a few things. We were walking around Walmart talking about how much we hated Beaners, because there's a surprising amount of Mexicans in Florida, a state that does not touch Mexico whatsoever.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy, but that's mainly in the cities of Florida, which is weird. But also, whatever, they're kind of loyal, but continue.
But he was telling me he's a college student and he's almost done with his degree. I'm not going to say what it is because I don't.
Oh God, I hope it's not an art degree. I hope it's. Is it a useful degree?
No.
Is it useful?
Very. The guy's exceptionally intelligent.
Okay, so thank God. Okay.
We were talking technicals and stuff, and he was like, "Yeah, but I'm 30 years old. I just don't know like what I'm going to do. It's like 30. I'm almost broke."
AI.
And I told him, as we're walking through, I just kind of put my arm around him and was like, well, you shouldn't be down on yourself, bro. Like, glad the Impaler was 35 when he impaled the first person, you know, his first person.
There you go. I love it.
You have yet to hit your peak, my friend.
Beautiful.
And when I was walking with him and talking, I don't even know where that, like, I pulled that out of. There was a meme talking about it once upon a time. I'm usually not that uplifting myself, so it was like, the energy that you reciprocate the energy that the universe gives you. I think society and the world would be a better place if people were half as polite and as hospitable and as kind as those gentlemen were to myself. I told each one of them, if the tables are ever turned and you're in my neck of the woods, without question, you crash in my house, whatever you need, it's yours. I loved the sense of brotherhood and camaraderie, and there was no like weird gay dues or rituals or any of that kind of Hollywood fucking crap. You know, it was just like, bros are going to be bros.
Yes. So how has the incident inspired you or changed your viewpoint on activism?
Well, due to certain personal factors, I can't be a face, but I can be a thumb or a finger.
Right.
And like I was telling the GDL guys my circumstances, initially they scoffed, like, oh, you're a pussy. And I explained to them this, I'm caring about other people's well-being in my family, not my own. And if something happens to me, they're going to go in the system. And I can't allow that to happen. Also, there isn't a fighting force in history that didn't operate without any kind of support structure. So I could be part of your support structure. A military, for example, has mechanics and cooks. Not everyone's a door kicker. I told them that I'll be the guy bagging up the flyers and I don't want to be on camera handing them out for my own personal reasons. They accepted that. I think I justified it well enough to them that it wasn't from like being a pussy or anything. It's just...
I think that's great. Do you have any final closing statements to say?
They're doing good work, and they're nice and wholesome. They're on camera, they're a bit bombastic, but I think half of that is like they're trying to add to the entertainment value. But like deep down, they're good dudes, and I think that people should support them in any way that they can, be it sending them a shekel or buying their flyers or even just, if one of them's traveling through your area, fucking, I'll save you the money for the hotel room crash at my place.
Yeah, there you go.
Because at no point was there, usually when you meet new people, there's like, okay, there's this one thing that's kind of off about them, it's kind of red flag. At no point did I get any of that from any of them. And they all appeared to be very genuine in how they conducted themselves. I mean, even watching HT's arrest video that I took, imagine if it was a black guy on drugs that they were accosting. He wouldn't have left his pistol in the car because he went in a bar. There would have been words. There would have been no. But you know how it would have worked out, and the cops' lives would be ruined, and then it'd be another fucking Saint Nigger Floyd of fentanyl. You know,
exactly.
I'm sure the Jew News is going to make at least a blurb about it, just because it's like, oh, HT, the chronic litterer, was fucking apprehended outside of a fucking restaurant, and his quote-unquote bodyguard, you know, had a gun, and there's a lot of ways that they can spin it, and with how they try to paint him, I'm sure at some point it's going to get brought up.
And they may also try to dox you in some way, right?
Well, hopefully my security is tight enough that doesn't happen, because I'm not ready to reveal myself to the world in that way yet.
Yep. So go check out Super Based Friends. I'll link to it in the bottom of the show.
HT, you know, he's got a lot of friends the world over. I was actually astonished at how many people he knows.
I'm glad there's so much support for the Going Defense League, and it sounds like it's a great quote organization unquote that is empowering white males. That's great.
Yeah, seems very wholesome too. Even when I told him about my, you know, pre my first noticing, you know, like they weren't even too harsh on me for things I did then.
And gradually we began to hate them.
Yeah, and I think in these circles it's understood that just like everyone had a blue pill version of, I won't make fun of yours if you don't make fun of mine. Kind of.
yeah. Hey, well, that's great. I mean, thank you for the interview. It was amazing. Thank you for giving us a breakdown of what happened with the arrest with HT. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, man. Hopefully I can have you on my show again sometime. I had to take a break because of family ailments. Hopefully I can get some new uploads up soon.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about your mom. That's dramatic. It's life.
She had been not doing well for like the last year or so. In a way, she's no longer in pain and no longer suffering.
Well, I love misery and sadness, and I love ending my show on death. So there we go. Have a wonderful day, everyone. Goodbye.
Hey, sir. Could I speak with him for a moment? I mean, it's...
Let me put the window down.
Sure. Hey, bro. This isn't the picture that I wanted to get with you, but
oh yeah.
Well, you're on camera.
see you. Tell the truth, summers will be there.